C1AP, number 11B.
So I think in this way I have defined clear enough those two states of manhood of Jesus and the womanhood of the divine principle being one with its idea. And as one presents these things, it is clear that, or it's usually so, that there is somehow a human objection against it, which says, well, isn't that just up on cloud nine? Isn't that putting one's head like an ostrich into the sand and not to see what's going on in this world? And this is naturally not so, because we have seen that woman was clothed with the sun, which is a symbol of purity, and that symbol of purity is a symbol for life and love, that the woman always includes the manhood. Therefore, what the Revelator wants to show is that if we entertain that womanhood state of consciousness, that begins to operate not only as the woman, but also as the manhood of God, and the manhood of man. And that is shown through the further symbol upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Now, 12, as we have seen, is always a symbol of demonstration. It is really the symbol for recapitulation, the 12, where we see that the 12 is what? Is actually the demonstration of the four as life, truth, and love. Or you can say the demonstration of the four from the standpoint of Word, Christ, and Christianity. That is the acme there. Therefore, the demonstration over sin, sickness, and death. So that woman, that idea, has the 12 star on her head, has the power of demonstration in the human on her head. The difference is that if we are woman, we let woman operate and demonstrate itself. We are not going to use metaphysics anymore, but we let the divine principle, the divine idea operate. Yes? From the infinite one in Christian Science comes the infinite principle, with that principle the infinite idea, and with that infinite idea comes rules and laws, and then she says, and their demonstrations. That's the manhood. So we are not shutting our eyes to what's going on in the world if we culture the state of womanhood. The explanation here is the 12 tribes of Israel with all mortals. Can you see? She brings it right down to the mortals. And the 12 tribes of Israel stand for the whole concept of mortals, separated by belief from man's divine origin, and separated therefore from the true idea. So what happens with that state of consciousness which is not woman, which has separated principle and idea? What happens with those mortals? Will through much tribulation, that's the trouble, huh? It's tribulation. Will through much tribulation yield to the activities of the divine principle, to the activity of that woman idea, of man, in the harmony of science. So the working out is through tribulation. These are the stars in the crown of rejoicing. So we can either have tribulation or we can have rejoicing. And as we go on, we'll see, as Revelation develops, that whole problem, either to be saved through science or through suffering, will play quite a big part. So these are the stars in the crown of rejoicing. They are the lamps in the spiritual heavens of the age. Can you see she compares again the 12 tribes with all mortals separated from the idea, and compares that here with the spiritual heavens of on the spiritual idea, which show the workings of the spiritual idea. Now finally, we come to the workings of the spiritual idea. What does that do? And now we get to the demonstration of Jesus by healing the sick and the sinning. Yes? So womanhood includes manhood. The womanhood state of thought includes the Jesus state of thought. So it heals, but it also does something else. The second aspect of that is, and by manifesting the light which shines unto the perfect day as the night of materialism wanes. So can you see the point here that she makes? I don't know if I'm so slow in my own thinking, in my own development. I always go back to these few things and always think they are so big and they are every day new. Someone was thinking about them for ages, but every time one sees these wonderful altitudes and different altitudes again and again, one is absolutely taken in by them. See, what she is going to show here is fundamentally this, that if we remain in the 5,000 year period, then our whole life in regard to the teaching of Christian Science is engaged in trying to solve those negative problems that confront us. We go day by day through life. We may encounter day by day difficulties, problems. And we say, oh, that's fine. I have a science with which I can solve them. Isn't that perhaps the general concept of what Christian Science means to me? A problem-solving science. That is the great war cry in Boston at the moment. What is science? It's a problem-solving science. Yes, that's how it has been taken. But that's the 5,000-year period. You wait until you get into trouble. And then you say, I have a solution. What is the woman? The woman doesn't care about what happens in the first place. She cares about in the second place, but not in the first place. The woman does not say, I have Christian Science, and that I'm going to use when I get into problems. If I don't get into problems, I don't need to use it. All is fine. The woman says, no. My practice is an every minute and every second practice. My practice is not to wait until I have problem. I don't even accept them to arise. My practice is to go out from the divine principle and see that the divine principle is only beholding its own idea. That's the woman. That's love. Love never losing sight of loveliness. Love that is never separate from its object of consideration and contemplation. So at that point, as a woman, I'm engaged in the teaching of Christian Science in quite a different way. I go out from the divine principle and contemplate what that divine principle is, what its nature is, what its power is, what its substance is, what its operation is. And I begin to see that its operation is on the woman's state of thought, namely only to bring out the light, only to bring out the ideas of that principle, that principle constantly says, you know, all men, I'm principle. What is that I'm principle? I'm life, truth, and love. So as principle, I'm constantly demonstrating life, I'm constantly demonstrating the newness of life, the impulsion of life, the multiplication of life, the spontaneity of life. I'm operating that way, you know. You know, old man, my principle is truth. Says, I principle, I'm truth. And I operate as a newness of life, as truth. I'm going to bring out absolutely new forms. I bring you a new form of consciousness. I mold a new consciousness. I bring you a new paradigm and show you what the new paradigm is. Because I'm truth, I know much more than human can think about. So I'm working on your consciousness as the divine consciousness and bring to your consciousness constantly a new vision and a new form of that new vision and the structure of that new vision. I show you the form, the inner relationship, the inner gestalt of that new vision so that it becomes clear and crystal clear. And you know, old man, I'm principle, and what I do, I'm constantly working as love. I'm constantly have one big aim in view. I'm what Daya Dasharatha would say, I have the point omega in view. I have a terrific big plan in view to which I want to bring you, to which I want to lead you. Therefore, I use you in order to fulfill that plan, in order to take that part in that plan which is individual to you and which you can fulfill. And therefore I use you for a big universal plan that's much bigger than what you can think of. And see, that is my practice. That is my practice. Naturally, that practice then says, but that includes the manhood too. So don't worry too much about what's going on into the world, but because I, principle, life, truth, and love, will take care of it. The more you think and are, the more you are conscious as woman of the divine principle operating constantly as life, truth, and love, the more my 12 stars will shine and operate. The more those ideas of divine principle which are working out the universal plane of love naturally have a universal impact. They have an individual, a collective, and a universal impact on the material world. These are the stars of my rejoicing. They tell me that they are going to work in a way I don't know they are going to work. But they tell me they are working. Of operation that they are shown here, they will operate as overcoming ignorance, as overcoming malice, as overcoming sin, as overcoming disease and death and what else we want to has to be set right. And second, they operate in the world as bringing more and more light to the world as the materialism wanes. Can you see the grace that is embodied in that attitude? It's no more fighting against every evil. Where you get up in the morning and say, gosh, here is another day, I hope it will be all right. And then something within you say, well, if I do my lessons, it will be all right. If I have read that lesson properly, then I should be safe. But you are not safe. The next moment something happens. Then you say, all right, I go back to my Christian Science and try to resolve it. And you kill that error. And two more errors will rise up out of it. Because we have made a reality of that error. We have taken it as a reality and tried to show that it is not the reality. We have started metaphysically, not as a scientist, really. And that is what we'll see as we go on, that this is the great problem. Did I show you the turn of standpoint, the change of standpoint? Okay, can you see that actually this standpoint demands that somehow that standpoint of the woman, of that principle which never loses sight of its idea and the working of that idea, must be like a background music in the consciousness that must constantly sound and sing until we can see what the revelator said, and they sang a new song, until the old jazz of metaphysics is over, the constantly beat and beat and beat against air is over, and you really begin to hear the new song of principle that says, I'm harmony. She starts out with principle as the principle of harmony. I know only the ideas of harmony, but I also operate through my 12 stars as the ideas of harmony that take care of everything. Can you hear that? Another point. Can you see that this is the way how to gain the new idea? Remember that before, in the chapter 11, was the question how to gain that new standpoint. Where was it? I just haven't it right here, but you remember yesterday, huh? But that was... it was here in this very 12th chapter. But the grand necessity of existence is to gain the true idea of what constitutes the kingdom of heaven. And so we said, how do we gain it? Huh? And perhaps we haven't quite seen how to gain it, so she explained it. Now we see it. Now we see it. That she said, you gain really the harmony of being, the standpoint of the harmony of being, if you begin to realize that we have to overform the Jesus state of consciousness and wake up to the new realization that 2,000 years afterwards the idea of Christian Science came, and that idea of Christian Science was showing us that we have to go out from principle, and that we have to be mother and woman, which means that we have to hug the idea close to us, embrace the idea close to us, and never let go. Mother will embrace the child and not let it go. She will protect it against everything. And so the consciousness of woman, which says, I go out from principle and see that only principle as life, truth, and love is constantly working and constantly bringing out the ideas of mind and the ideas of spirit and the ideas of soul and the ideas of principle and the ideas of life and the ideas of truth and the ideas of love. But I, principle, life, truth, and love, do it. Then we let the divine principle operate, but that consciousness lets the divine principle operate in order to demonstrate that which the divine principle wants to demonstrate, and not that which we want to demonstrate. Do you get that point? That's the point. That's where science comes in. Only when we get that attitude, we really have gained the principle of harmony. And this is demanding a lot, I know, because it demands that we lay down at the point of the 5,000-year period, that we lay down the mortal sense of things. the mortal sense of who am I, who I am, the mortal sense, what do I have to demonstrate, the mortal sense, what is the purpose of my life, what is the fulfillment of my life, what is the value of my life, all that I have to lay down. All that which I cherished about my life and about my being, I have to lay down and say, go to hell. Go to hell. I don't want it. What I want is that the divine principle can work through me, whatever that divine principle wants to use me. And if one takes that stand as soon as possible, one can always see that that standpoint enables us to be transparent for the unfoldment of the idea. You see the very different nature of demonstration, as I just have said it. Instead of trying to demonstrate that which I consider to be the bigness and beauty of my life, I let the divine principle demonstrate me. And in that way, alone, the divine principle can demonstrate the unfoldment of the idea, not the other way around. If I stay in a metaphysical approach of mind, spirit, soul, and touch a little bit principle, then I can never be the tool or the channel or the transparency for the demonstration of the unfoldment of the idea. That's not possible. Therefore, no one who remains in that attitude of demonstrating really divine principle in the human life can ever be a transparency for the demonstration of a new scientific idea. But what the age needs is vision. What the age needs is that the divine idea develops, that the scientific concept of that divine idea develops. That is what the age needs. If there is no vision, the people will perish. And Mrs. Eddy demanded more or less that the Christian scientists should always be ahead of the world and not behind, as it seems to be now. But in order to be ahead of the world, we must be transparent for new ideas. And that we can't if we take our life as given, as a given factor, and say, how can we now hold that factor intact so that it is not destroyed or that it is not hurt? Then we can't do it. That's stagnant. So the Christian scientist who lives Christian science is the one who lets principle live him, and not the one who says, I know more or less what is demanded in the present age of morality and ethics and standard, that I'm going to demonstrate that. That's not life. That's not living Christian science. That's living moralism, that's living humanism, that's living ethical concepts that are temporary. That's not living Christian science. Only life comes only after principle in the order of development. And so principle must leave us. Yes, that's that.